KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Chris Fiorentino, and I thank you for joining us this morning. I'm excited to welcome Fresno State professors Candace Egan and Jess Thirkelson to the studio today for our Fresno State Service in Action show. And also welcome Khan Sesamandi, a media communication and journalism student here at Fresno State. Today we get to talk about how Candace, Jess, and their students like Khan are putting academics into action through service learning. And we're also going to talk about a pretty special honor that Candace and Jess will be receiving soon. So let's get started. Candace, before we dive in, I would like to give our listeners a little idea of who's behind the mic. Can you tell us a little about yourself?
Wow, that's a big question. Well, let's see. I've had a varied career. I've been teaching at Fresno State now since about 1997, I believe. I started part-time and went full-time in 2004 in the MCJ department. Prior to that, I worked at Channel 30, KFSN, and I worked at KMPH-TV. My one claim to fame is I was the first female videographer there, which back in the mid-80s was somewhat rare. Then I also worked at the university. I came here in 1986, so I actually worked here in the media services area, and we have, you know, TV studio, and we had video services. So I actually worked here for over 12 years doing that before I started to transition into teaching.
And what's your focus in your teaching role?
I came into teaching sort of a multimedia, desktop, video, digital media kind of emphasis because I've done some web stuff. And as time has gone on and the web has become something where you have tools to make websites, you don't have to necessarily know how to do them. I've kind of sort of slowly come back around to this very strong focus on video and photography and pulling all that together that might be on a web page, but not worrying about designing the web page.
Yeah, you don't have all that behind the scenes.
All the coding and all of that stuff. It's gotten so exotic that there's people who do that and that's all they do. So yeah. I'm not worrying about that anymore.
Well, you've been here at Fresno State for quite a while, and you, as well as anybody, knows that this university places a real strong emphasis on aligning what we teach in the classroom with the needs in the community. And service learning is one way we do that. How would you explain in your own terms what service learning is?
I've been thinking about this a lot because I'm actually leading an initiative to start a service learning group within a national organization that I'm a part of. So I'm trying to really get this in my head as well so that I can share it with others. And what I'm currently, how I envision it, it's sort of three elements that you have a course-based component tied to a course in college, that there's a community service component, and then there's reflection by the students about the experience they're having. I mean, that's how I've been sort of boiling it down to those three different aspects.
And that reflection piece is really the piece that ties the service in the community with the academic content of the course?
Right. When I do the reflection piece, we're looking at their sort of reaction to and the experience they had and the value they saw of the community organization they're working with and how it's benefiting the community. And then also how their role as a media producer ties into that and reflecting on what it took to actually create something for, you know, a CBO or something to use that's meaningful, and then they can see that it benefits others.
Yeah, because otherwise all they get is the academic content and not the understanding of how this applies outside of the classroom or outside of the lab.
Right. And a lot of times, too, they're not always that familiar with some of the community-based organizations that are around. And so that really exposes students to the variety of the organizations and the various missions. And quite often there's a sort of recurring connection to some of these organizations that lasts after the class or maybe for another class.
Yeah, a better understanding then of what our community really consists of in terms of the needs and the services that are out there.
We're also part journalists too, right? So sometimes we discover things that we're kind of surprised at. So last semester, one group did something with an organization, the Fresno Metro Ministries, and their food to share program, and I'm still shocked about this, but the students were shocked about that there are food deserts in Fresno, places where people don't have readily access to buy food, find food.
Yeah.
And we're actually looking at that this semester in a different project. Because again, that's just surprising. And as my current students say, it's kind of surprising when you're in the breadbasket of the world and then you have places in this community and other communities that they don't have ready access to food.
Yeah, you can't get fruit and vegetables.
Right.
Yet we grow more than anywhere else in the world. Yeah. So I know it's been a few years now, to say the least, that you changed your corporate video class to include a really significant service learning component. Can you talk about that class a little bit, the MCJ 118S?
Yes.
And why you decided to change it to emphasize the service learning piece? And we've talked about that a little bit already, but maybe talk about the class and how service learning fits into it.
So the way the class was originally offered when I took it over, it hadn't been offered for a while, is basically student teams, the idea was to get them exposed to working with clients. So a natural source of clients would be community-based organizations. And as you recall, I came to you way back when and said, I'm trying to figure out how we can come up with some organizations. And you actually came up with some organizations. And we sort of informally started this process that after a while, I think you and Ben Boone, I think, really came to me and said, you know, you should really turn this officially into a service learning class, which then added a few other criteria to it. We weren't doing the reflection piece originally, so we've added that in a couple different ways. And I think sort of stepped up what we're doing and realizing the importance of it. Before, I was thinking more, okay, well, we need clients because we want to learn how to work with clients. Well, now we work with them, but I think we're a little more further engaged with them and see that we're contributing to something bigger than just, I'm doing a video for this person, but we're doing something that affects other people.
So the course is really intended to help students understand that whole process of what it means to prepare a video for a client, because I've been involved a little bit from the very get-go, the initial contacts and understanding what the client wants, the contractual pieces that are there, even though it's a service and there's not a fee associated. What's some of the other content that you teach in the class?
Typically, it's taken when you're a senior, and the prerequisites for the class assume that you've gone through other production courses. So I basically come at it from the standpoint, and I tell the students, I'm not going to teach you how to shoot and edit. You should know that already.
Mm-hmm.
What we are going to spend more time on is client relations, how to have a client meeting. We even role play a client meeting and debrief it before we actually have client meeting. How to do all of that administration, the budget, the communication outreach with the client, presenting them draft budgets, draft outlines, draft scripts, coordinating the shooting, doing all the paperwork and that what it actually takes when you do this professionally. So that's the part that we touch on in other classes, but we don't have as much time to spend on. And so that the whole relationship is really not a lot different than if they were to work with this organization on their own later, all the things that have to be taken care of and addressed to actually be able to deliver something that meets the needs of that organization.
And we were talking before, and in the years that you've been doing this class, you've had 30 clients, 30 community benefit organizations or nonprofits that you've worked with. There have been 30 projects.
Yes.
What are some of those organizations that you've worked with?
Well, I had to go back to my notes because it's been a while. We started back in 2006. We actually had 4 clients. Stone Soup was one of our clients, the Smile Center, Hoover Pyramid Mentoring Project out of Hoover High School. And then we actually worked with the Richter Center. Usually my goal is to do 6, but as I looked over this, some semesters I've had 6, some it's been 5, some it's been 4. I remember fondly was kind of fun because the video was so fun to watch, but we did a junior triathlon club, the ICANN Junior Triathlon Club, yeah. And a lot of kids and active, which I did, the visuals still stick in my head from that one. We also did EOC Sanctuary, that program. They were so excited that they actually held a premiere downtown in a theater space, I guess, affiliated or attached to their organization. And they had the students that worked on that come and they showed it. And they actually took that to a national convention, I believe, and showed it at a national convention. So that was actually a really kind of exciting additional component that happened with that particular project. One of my, well, I have several favorites, but we did something for Exceptional Parents Unlimited, and I show that now to my new students.
Yeah, that was a great
video. It's really great.
It is a great video.
It's emotional. You get caught up in it. It made the client cry when they watched it. I watched it, and I tear up, and it's very, very powerful. And they did such a good job to really get the organization's message across. So that's one of my favorites. But there's been a lot. We've did Art of Life. I think you were kind of tangentially involved in that one as well. Community Food Bank. We've sort of been getting even bigger profile clients as we, more recently, some had the Blood Bank, the Community Food Center.
And these are 3 to 5 minute videos, roughly, and they really help the agency tell whatever story they're looking to tell, their mission, the need, whatever else.
Yeah, right? And typically we do 2 videos. One's a little longer form video, one's a shorter. It's kind of up to the clients how they want to use it. Normally, you'd expect to be a promotional piece to help attract donors, volunteers, could be those who could seek their services. And then a shorter video that usually it's that quick one that still sort of gives you the highlights of the organization. Occasionally they vary from that. For the food bank, they needed a training video to train their volunteers. So the longer piece was actually a training video they use with every new volunteer that comes in. And then the shorter piece was the one that they could use to get the word out to the community.
So as a faculty, your role really is to kind of guide the students through this process and help coordinate some of the pieces ahead of time and whatnot. For you, what's been the most challenging aspects of teaching a service learning course, but what are the biggest rewards?
Challenging can be if the students don't have their A game.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I felt like that was an okay video, but it could have been much better. So that's the challenge. I'm always trying to find a way to make sure that the level of the finished piece is going to do what's needed for the organization and they're going to be happy with it.
It's one thing if a student turns in a paper and it's a C paper, but this is not just some paper that only the professor is going to see. This is a product that the agency is...
The public's going to see it. Yeah. So there's a lot more accountability, but that's also what makes the valuable experience in the class. And I think the students realize that. So that's the thing we're always trying to kind of make sure we're delivering something that's suitable. In the earlier days, that was a lot harder. The technology would conspire against us. You know, we've come a long way as a department with the tools and our techniques. So what we do now, even if it's not award winning, it's still really strong enough compared to maybe the beginning days when it was like, I don't know if that one's going to
Well, they really
muster.
Are fantastic videos. And I imagine for you, that's one of the greatest joys, too. You end up seeing some of these videos that come out. They are truly professional quality that, you know, the agencies are just enamored by.
And that's been exciting. And I've been fortunate enough a couple times to talk with one of the organizations or some of them later. Like the other day, we had one of the organizations from last semester in for a different video version of kind of this program, right? Where we interview people that we've worked with. And we showed the video as part of their interview show. And the comment, she said, they were so excited and they're using it all the time. And it's just been a really wonderful video for them.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, exciting to hear back that they're actually using it, taking advantage of it.
Jess, let's turn to you for a minute. Like Candace, can you start just telling the listeners a little about yourself?
Sure. So I came to Fresno State in 2013. I moved here from Washington, D.C. I had a video production house that I owned and operated, and I actually did similar work that what Candace was teaching her students to do. So I had worked with nonprofits and helped them create media that helped to hopefully raise awareness of the kinds of issues and problems that they were working in different kinds of societies. And I had also worked with communities and marginalized communities to teach them how to tell their own stories. So I came to Fresno State in 2013 and have been teaching as much as I can in terms of documentary storytelling. So I also have that video background, documentary storytelling background, but I also have a photography background. We also offer audio storytelling within the media communications and journalism department. We have students who are interested in narrative storytelling. So I kind of help out students find the art in storytelling, but also to help them become more familiar with the tools that they have they can use.
And I know quickly after you came here, you started getting people chewing on your ear a little bit about, hey, you got to get involved in service learning. And I know Candace did that and Betsy Hayes.
Yes.
And I think I probably might have chewed on your ear a little bit too, trying to encourage you to do that. But you quickly got involved in this. What was it about service learning that appealed to you?
Well, you know, I think it was I had been doing service learning for a long time, but didn't realize that I was doing service learning.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky to be part of a department that gets their students outside the classroom walls as quickly and as often as possible. And the professors within the media communications and journalism, we know that this is a very practical degree that the students are getting, and we need to get them that kind of professional experience as quickly as possible. So I think I was lucky that I was surrounded by a lot of like-minded individuals to be able to do that. So that was, you know, they're doing. But yeah, I had been doing this, but I guess I didn't realize I was doing service learning. You know, when I had tried to get students connected with local nonprofits, to get students connected with community members, to get connected with organizations, to help not only the students tell more varied and various stories, but also to get them deeper relationships within the community. So it was a win-win situation, really.
That one piece too, you mentioned that deeper connections with the community. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think a lot of times students, they go through the motions of being a college student, but mm-hmm. not being very interested in or involved in the community, and service learning certainly provides them an opportunity to do that. And I know that you and Candace have joined forces about a year after you started, Jess.
Yeah.
You guys joined forces and really created this brand new course, this MCJ 131S class. Can you tell us a little about that class and how service learning fits into it?
Sure. Well, this is a class that Candace has been teaching for a while. It was an online media design class, and it was something that the students were creating clips, videos, a lot of different kinds of media content to be shared online. And, you know, the success of 118 and turning that into a service learning course really lent itself well to have this class, the 131, be turned into a service learning designated class as well. And I remember going up to Candace and saying, I want to do this. And her, like the rest of the department, was incredibly supportive and said, yeah, it's a wonderful idea. Let's do it.
And I think the first project in that class had to do with the drought. And luckily, that's not as much of an issue as it was a couple of years back when you guys were forming this class. But it had to do with the drought. And I think the students each did individual stories about how the drought is affecting different populations. And it might be the wildlife populations. It certainly was people in the cities and things like that. What about now, Candace? What's the current project like now, this semester?
One of the things before we leave the last time, when Jess and I team taught it, we tried something called a web audit as well, where we had our students who were assigned as a team, and they worked with a local community organization to kind of just go through their web presence, which was very helpful for the organizations. It was a good experience for students. At least one of them got hired into a gig over at a startup that's in Las Vegas and emailed me back saying, everybody needs to do that. But the drought project is the one that resonated the most because it had that multimedia journalism component. Since then, I've been thinking about how that class went and what I wanted to do for this next iteration. And I thought, you know, I really feel like we could build for the entire semester could be doing something like the California Drought website. So this time, the entire semester is focused on creating this multimedia journalistic website, but it's all tied around food and the food issues and food services. And we've reached out to CBOs again, but this time they're more our story sources. Some of them might get profiled. In other cases, they're the conduit to a story with someone maybe tied to them or someone that we connect to because we met up with them. So it's a little different model. It's a lot like the drought, where each student's doing a story. They're reporting a story, they're writing, they have to do at least 3 photos and some multimedia element. So they could do a video, they could do an interactive map, they could do a photo slideshow, they could do photos with audio, they could do a podcast. That's kind of up to them how they enhance that component. Mm-hmm. But we're really trying to pull together all this information that's out there about all these different things going on related to food.
The hunger, the food insecurity issues, the food desert.
Community
issues.
Gardens, the food desert. So we're looking at it to be a place where it's a resource for people. So it's more like community journalism versus traditional journalism, because our intention is to help people by providing this information. So we're not going investigating as much as we're trying to find what's going on and what can be done to maybe help the situation.
So that resource is going to be available to the public once it's finished up this semester.
Yes.
And anybody can go on there and take a
look
at that.
So we will launch it on May 18th during our final exam. We have an Instagram, we have Facebook. We're trying to get the word out and to publicize even when that officially launches as well.
And would people navigate to the first project on the drought or this project on food through the media communication journalism website on campus?
They should, but I'm not sure if how well we're linking to that. But certainly we'll have, for this new one, we'll definitely have a link.
And we'll make sure that we get a link on the Facebook site so our listeners can click on that and get to those stories from the developed by
We're putting
students.
More emphasis this time around about the whole idea that we have to have social media. We have to publicize it. So we do hopefully a better job than the last time.
So Con, you've been sitting over there patiently, like, you know, the last one in line. Similar to the first question that we asked Candace and Jess, tell us a little about yourself.
I'm a Fresno native, born and raised here my entire life. I'm about 22 years young now. I'm going on to 23 in May. But I graduated in high school in about 2012, and, you know, just like many other college students, I came unsure about what I wanted to study, and I was contemplating between what's known as media communications journalism now and psychology, because I always thought it was fascinating about how the mind worked. But in the end, about a year or two later, I just pretty much followed my heart and just went with picking up a camera, and I just went off from there.
And I saw you walked in today, you had your camera with you. So is photojournalism an emphasis area? Is it telling stories? What's your sort of focus? What do you love to do in that respect with media communication journalism and photography?
In media communication journalism, my emphasis is multimedia, which is short storytelling. I don't want to speak for every MCJ student, but for me, that's why I'm in this field of studies, is because I like to share stories. If it's not my own story, then someone else's.
Yeah, and I think a photo shares a story in a very unique way, right? We're not talking about a storybook. We're talking about seeing someone's face or a plight that they're involved in through a visual aspect is different than hearing about it through word.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When it comes to storytelling, I love being able to tell stories visually, whether it's through photography or video.
Yeah. And we've talked about the MCJ 118S class and the 131S class. Have you taken either or both of those classes before?
Yeah, I've taken, I want to say, like roughly 80% of the MCJ courses here at Fresno State, but out of the two, I've only had the opportunity to take 118S.
Okay, and when did you take that class?
I want to say like maybe a year ago.
Okay, do you remember the client, the project that you worked on?
I do, actually. It was actually a client that Candace mentioned earlier. It was the Community Food Bank.
Okay. What was it like working on that project where you've got this background of information about videography and editing and sound production and all these other content that you study in other courses, but now all of a sudden you're putting it all together? How was that for you as a student?
I guess the hardest part is pretty much trying to work with the client and trying to make their visions become a reality, because as a group, you can get together and say, okay, I want to do this or that, but then it kind of doesn't really matter if it's not what the client really wants.
Do you think you could have learned that information in the same way if it was just a traditional lecture course?
No, definitely not, because a service learning course, you're kind of required to go out there. I wasn't new to the whole service learning thing because I used to work with the nonprofit before who kind of did the same thing, but I wasn't familiar with the paperwork, like the whole client meeting and emailing and responding back and all that, because I was just the cameraman. But with the service learning course, I learned how to be the producer, the director, the cameraman, the editor, pretty much all in one.
Big learning curve?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Do you think it's prepared you in a unique way for graduation and for life after college?
Yeah, I believe it has, because I believe like 118S was kind of like a prep to go out in the real world and like shake hands with clients and work with them and whatnot. So it's not as, I guess you could say, nerve-wracking, because if you've taken the course, then you'll come to realization that it's about the same thing.
Yeah, a lot of communication, a lot of coordination that maybe if you're just preparing.
Scheduling, planning, yeah.
Yeah, where in any other course, that's going to come into effect, but not to the degree that it does, because all of a sudden you have what the professor requires, you have your time demands, and you have this other entity all of a sudden who doesn't really care about your grade. They care about the product you're producing for them.
Yeah. And I think that's what's difficult, is that a lot of students come in thinking like, oh man, you know, I'm stressed out about trying to get a good grade on this project, but you also have to remember that this project isn't only for your grade, but it's also for a client who might be a future client who remembers you, familiar face.
Yeah. So I want to kind of turn the discussion a little bit, because at the opening, I mentioned this special recognition that Jess and Candace are going to be receiving. Each year, President Castro hosts the Spirit of Service reception. This is an event where all the people who contribute in so many ways to the university's extensive community service and service learning programs are thanked, they're recognized, and the president focuses on various groups like students, staff, faculty, community partners, and all the folks who help contribute to that million hours of service that's done every year by Fresno State. And one group that's honored and recognized is faculty members who teach service learning classes. And out of about 100 faculty members that teach service learning classes each year, Candace and Jess were chosen to receive what's called the Faculty Spirit of Service Award this year. So congratulations to the two of you. I'm not sure how you're feeling about that, maybe a little overwhelmed and embarrassed, but I wonder if you can talk a little bit about, as a faculty member, you're not doing these kind of things to get recognized for it, but how does it make you feel when your peers are recognizing you for your work out there?
Well, Chris, I mean, Fresno State takes such tremendous pride in the service learning that they do, and, you know, we have over a million hours of work inside the community, you know, and I'm shocked that, you know, I'm grateful to get this award, and to share it with Candace is even nicer because I know that Candace has been doing this for a long time, and it's wonderful to know that our students are getting a lot from it. The recognition is fantastic, but, you know, you had asked Candace before, you know, what the rewards are of teaching a service learning class. And I really do think that the rewards there are, I see the shift in the students where they really kind of understand that this is something that they can use to provide a good to the rest of the community, you know, and I think that is a reward that I see in a lot of my classes. How about you, Candace?
I was quite surprised when I saw the email. I was at home, I think, just going through email, and my jaw dropped. It was like, wow, gosh, it's awesome to get recognized. I think, you know, like you kind of said, you're so focused on what you're doing and the goals for your class. And there's always a huge list of things to do that you don't even think about what other people might be thinking about what you're doing. So that was just kind of like, wow, to have them actually take notice was wonderful.
Well, and there's so many things that I see that you guys are involved in behind the scenes that we haven't even talked about. And certainly it's hard to communicate over the radio airwaves, the power of a video con like you've produced and the work that you've done, Jess, not only here in our local area, but internationally. And Candace, the real leadership role that you've played within the department. But it's an honor well deserved. And I look forward to being there on May 3rd when the president gives you that award. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but before we sign off today, I actually have a real job here. I volunteer my time to do this job on this show, and I love doing it. But one of the great things about my real job is that I get to work with some really fantastic faculty members who engage their students in some really impressive work out there in the community and work that I think often goes unheralded. So I really want to thank you for the work that you do, not only in the classroom and on campus, but outside of the classroom and in the community. And I certainly thank you for being here today as well. And I look forward to continuing to work with you on that. So to our guests, Candace Egan and Jess Thirkelson, and to Khan Sesamandi, thank you for being here. And as always, thank you to our listeners for tuning in this morning. Please join us again next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for another Fresno State Service in Action show on KFSR. Also, please like us on Facebook at FS Service in Action. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.